This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The voices of enslaved people are noticeably absent from many of the narratives of the American South. But this weekend at Stagville Plantation near Durham, at least some of those voices will be heard again. Stagville is the site of one of the largest plantations in the South. Today, it's a state historic site, and Saturday, the Bear Theater Company will stage a production of Let Them Be Heard. It's part of Stagville's Juneteenth celebration. Todd Bucher selected seven oral histories collected during the Depression by the Works Progress Administration to create Let Them Be Heard. He's also the director, and he joins me now. And also with us is one of the actors featured in the play, Justin Smith. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
Glad to be here.
Todd, tell us about the text, the script. Where do these texts come from?
Well, the text comes directly from the Slave Narrative Project. So as you said, it was recorded between the late 1936 and into 38. And basically, we wanted to just preserve that text and tell those stories. So we really just cut them for time, basically. We didn't change any of the text or write any new material for this. So we really wanted to preserve that.
You've got seven stories, and they'll remain more or less monologues. You haven't sort of morphed them into a single production or a single play.
That's correct. Each of the stories really stands on its own, and they also work together really well. So there's interesting parallels that you can see. There's also a lot of different perspectives, but they all kind of work together to tell an overall story, I think, that really kind of sums up the Slave Narrative Project.
What do we know about the people whose stories these are? Did they all live in Stagville?
Well, we don't know much about them. Most of the people, their only record of existence is from the Slave Narrative Project. So not a lot is known about the actual men and women. Unfortunately, when we started the project, we wanted to focus on Stagville and try to get narratives from Stagville. Unfortunately, there's only three out of the 2,300 or so slave narratives. So, and they're very short. There's really not a lot of information contained in those. So the next best thing that we could do was to focus on North Carolina. And so all of the narratives that are included in Let Them Be Heard come from North Carolina. Mainly from the Raleigh-Durham area. So I think three of them are from Durham and three of them are from the Wake County area.
So what do we know about some of these lives? I won't have you summarize all seven, but give us a sense of who some of the people, who they were and what their lives were like.
Well, the stories are really very different from each other. You've got a couple of women that are in the first part of the piece that one of them actually lived to be 103, and she was, just this old woman who tells some really wonderful stories at the beginning. We've also got Squire Dowd, who was actually a Baptist preacher in Raleigh and well-known in the area. You've got Justin's character, Dave Lawson, who actually tells the story of his grandparents, which was a story passed down. So his is the only one that's not actually a story about himself. And then you've also got Thomas Hall, who refuses to tell his story and has a really interesting monologue and an interesting perspective to bring to it. So,
well, Justin, tell us about the person who you represent here.
Well, he doesn't really tell that much about himself. He just tells basically about this story where his grandparents go through this ordeal with their master. The master kind of wants to split them up. And they do some things. I don't really want to give the story away, but they do some things to prevent that. So it's kind of a love story, basically. And it shows how strong their love is for each other. And it's very good.
Can you give us a sample?
Yes, sir. It was just before the Yankees come to fight that Mars Drew bought Cleve and Lisa Lawson. There was my grandmammy and grandpappy. My mammy then was a baby. He bought them for $450, which was cheap because they was young with hard farm training. Old Mars didn't buy Mammy. He said a black brat wasn't no good, that she wouldn't sell for nothing, and she might die before she growed up. Besides, she was a strain on the Mammy, which breast nursed her. Now, Lisa cut up powerful because Massa made him leave their baby behind, but Massa just laughed and told her he'd get her a puppy. Said there was plenty of hounds on the plantation. Then he slapped the chains on their wrists and let them off. Lisa and Cleve never see that baby no more. But my Aunt Beck Lawson took and raised that baby. And when she growed up, she was my mammy. Yes, sir. Mars Drew bought them Negroes like he was buying a pair of mules. They wasn't them, but mules to them. Now, it was early summertime when he brought them to the plantation, but when wheat cutting season came, he sent Lisa and Cleve to the wheat fields. They were smart Negroes, hardworking, sometimes too hardworking for their own good. And at times, was the smart, hardworking Negroes who bought the best price. And nobody knew that better than Marsh Drew. And that's the... That's how it starts.
Justin Smith playing a role that you will see in its entirety if you get to Stagville this Saturday, the Bear Theater Productions version of and staging of Let Them Be Heard. What did you have to do to prepare for that role?
I just basically, well, Todd basically helped me. At first, I had to figure out what age he was, what he maybe ordeal or what things he went through as a slave, and how... kind of how to tap into his head and see how he felt about the story, because it didn't happen to him, but it happened to his grandparents. And the story is so, I don't want to say extreme, but the story is so kind of graphic to
it is.
Say.
Yeah.
It's kind of graphic to say. So I just basically had to tap in and see how he would describe this situation that happens.
Did you have to read or feel like you had to read other narratives to get yourself around a broader experience?
No, sir. I kind of wanted to base the character off just what the writing was. I didn't really want to create it around anything else.
That's a complicated thing to do, to have to take a story that is in itself powerful, but then understand that it's being reflected or interpreted by someone else who's telling a story, and he's telling a story to somebody, right? I mean, it's as though he's just sitting around the dinner table. This is somebody with a paper and pencil taking notes, which is a whole different way of, telling stories when you know somebody's listening. It's like getting ready for the radio, I guess.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, and you had a chance to do a dress rehearsal, have you, or some rehearsal up at the plantation?
Yes, sir.
What's that like to actually be in that location and to be speaking these words?
It's amazing. It's amazing because, like, at the where we rehearse at, it's nothing like the actual plantation, of course. So to be in that, to know that slaves actually were there and to be in that space and then the lanterns and then the barn, it takes you to another level as an actor, what I can really say.
And Todd, here it is. I mean, this is the challenge, of course, is to allow voices that have never been heard or rarely heard to somehow give voice to these things. And yet you're interpreting. And here's somebody who's coming along kind of making a production out of. So you have to what kind of a challenge is that for you to allow the voice to speak? And yet you have to create a theatrical production here. You have to put something into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest challenge for me as a director was really forcing myself not to try to do too much, to really resist my urges to add or manipulate or to do. It's easy for a director to want to put their little touches on a production. And in this case, I really wanted to just not do that at all. So I wanted to really help the actors find the truth in the characters themselves. So I told them up at the beginning that I wasn't going to give them direction as in you need to have this perspective or you should say your lines like this. I really wanted it to come from them and let them discover the characters for themselves, because I thought that would be a lot more true that way, and it would be a lot more honest for the text of the people who actually spoke these words.
Do you know if there are any family members who may have been related to the people who told those stories?
That is a great question. I'm sure there are. There are probably descendants. Unfortunately, it's very hard to find them. There's not a lot of record, as I said before, from the people that were in the Slave Narrative Project. So I'm sure there are descendants. They may not even know that they're related to these people, which is one of the kind of tragedies of that whole time and events.
Give us a sense of what the production looks like, how it's staged, and how mobile it is.
Well, it begins, actually, the entire production takes place at Horton Grove. And it begins in a slave quarters cabin that is actually original. There were slave families that lived there about 150 years ago and earlier. And so we begin there, and the production kind of moves through two of the rooms of that cabin. And then there's actually a walk after the first half down to the Great Barn, as it's known, which is this huge structure that was a mule barn built in 1860 by the slaves by hand using shipbuilding techniques. And so the second half, where Dave and some of the other guys do their monologues, that's all down at the barn.
So it's kind of a walking tour of the plantation itself. Yeah. Tell us what you know about the plantation, because it was one of the largest, which is a little unusual for North Carolina, which was known for mostly smaller places. And yet this had something like 900 slaves.
That's right.
A pretty big place.
It was a huge plantation, yeah, one of the largest in the South, spanned over 30,000 acres by the time of the Civil War. So that was much of northern Durham County and stretching into three other counties. So a vast plantation. As you said, over 900 slaves lived there. So really a huge operation. There were blacksmith shops, mills, all kinds of buildings on the premises. And one of the things that's interesting to me about Stagville is that some of those structures are probably still out there in the woods of northern Durham and maybe on people's properties. And we don't know about them because they're kind of being left to the elements. Yeah. And
but
it's
Stagville. Stagville still has some of the original dwellings. Few places, I guess, that has original dwellings, or as many as it does.
Which is really what makes Stagville unique. So it's very rare in the United States to find any plantation that has slave quarters still standing that you can go in. And the fact that Stagville has that, it's really pretty amazing.
Great to talk to both of you. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Todd Bucher is the director of Let Them Be Heard. The play will be performed Saturday at historic Stagville in Durham County. Justin Smith is one of the performers. And for more information, you can go to BearTheater.org. Just ahead, what political organizers learned from defeat. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.